Okie dokie dokie. Listen, I'm gonna get right into it this week. I'm not gonna waste time and futz around. Mostly because I didn't actually have the time to sit down and write an intro for this episode. But I'm gonna say that it's because I just want to get right to it, because we got good stuff. We got good stuff. We got good musicians talking about good music, doing some live performances. We got my friend Chase Ramsey and his buddy Willie Eklof. I'm in their recording studio where they recorded this new album. They got a band called Ruvi, and they recorded this new album called Welcome to Loserville that is great, and we're talking about it. And yeah, I didn't have a time to write a full intro for this episode, but like, that's it, you know? No bells and whistles necessary. We're just talking to some dope people about a new album they got out and about the process of sort of working together as teammates and collaborators and how that all comes about and what that process is like of forming a band, making your first album, and doing the thing. All right? Okay. Should I do some plugs? Maybe some plugs. Patreon? Patreon.com/AustinArcher. Cameo. I'm on Cameo. Get a Cameo. It's the holidays. A lot of people have been ordering them. I think I've done like 30 so far. And no dissatisfied customers so far. Everyone that I've done a Cameo for has said that was worth it. It's like $25 to get me to say something to someone that you like. That's a pretty cheap Christmas gift. Or holiday. Whatever holiday you're celebrating. Whatever holiday you want to get a gift for someone for. You can get them a Cameo from Austin Archer. And they'll be like, this is the best gift that anyone's ever gotten for me. You know, the music, austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. But really, what you got to do is go check out Ruvi, right? And we're going to do plenty of plugging Ruvi. I just figured, normally my intros are longer than this. I might as well just fill it with some stuff. Oh, hey, here's something. Here's something that I was meaning to say last week on the 100th episode that I didn't say. My guest, Emily Walton, that was on the Sondheim episode. Did you listen to that episode? The Sondheim episode? You should listen to the Sondheim episode. It's good. But my guest, Emily Walton, that episode starts with a recording of a choir singing the song Sunday from Sunday in the Park with George to Stephen Sondheim at, I think they're at Carnegie Hall, or they're maybe at Lincoln Center. I don't know where they're at, but there's some at some theater in New York, and it was Sondheim's 80th birthday, and this choir came out and sang the song Sunday from Sunday in the Park, and I found this clip on YouTube. I thought it was really gorgeous. I pulled the audio from that, and that's how the episode starts. That episode begins with that. I didn't even know when I grabbed that audio that Emily was in that choir with her mom. So my guest that was on the show talking to me about Sondheim was in the choir that I pulled audio from of people singing to Sondheim on his 80th birthday. How cool is that, right? Sometimes the universe really, really lines up in cool, serendipitous, synchronatic ways. Synchronatic? Is that a word? Synchronized? Synchronicity? Synchronitic? I don't know. I liked that. I wanted to tell you that. I thought that was cool. Okay, this is my friend Chase Ramsey and Willie Eklof talking about their new album and their new band, Ruvi. It's really, really cool. Go check it out. It's on all streaming platforms. The album is called Welcome to Loserville. Ruvi is spelled R-U-V-E-Y. So listen to this and then go listen to the album. Okay, here we go. Hey, boys.
What's up?
Ruvi!
Yeah.
Wow. Ruvi, baby.
We're in the groovy, Ruvi. We're in the, is that how I say it, Ruvi?
Ruvi, yeah, groovy.
Hey, so let's start right there. It was Wolfie, and why is it not that? Why is it Ruvi?
Ah.
That's our favorite story. Chase loves telling that one, because I get too upset to talk about it.
That night that we found out that it wasn't Wolfie anymore was a rough one. It, we didn't, you know how when you
you're
come
like talking about it, like the night that we found out that my dad, you know, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's or
it's
something.
Definitely a diagnosis of name issues. So we forgot, you know, when you start a business, you usually, grab the domain first, you know, you gotta get
the name,
thing, the name.
This is what it's called.
And we didn't check. So then we went and checked literally as we're going to submit the music. We've been working on this project for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And right beginning of the pandemic. And It was like, well, we should just check, you know, if anybody else is named Wolfie. And thousands of people.
You guys, this is like, everyone. This is like starting a band 101. Exactly. The first thing that you do is you, exactly. Well, I mean, if you figure out what the name is, you have to Google the name and band. Yeah. But also like, it's one of the most frustrating things about starting a band because every name has been taken.
Everything.
And you will literally sit down with your bandmate or bandmates and have a list of like 30 names and every single one of them would be like, yep, that's taken. And at some point you have to either just go, fuck it, who cares? Yeah. And just say, we're also that band now. Because like sometimes I've looked at bands and been like, well, they haven't released an album since 2010, so they lost it.
They don't count. Yeah,
they lost it, they're gone.
Yeah.
Like there's another Austin Archer out there who has albums. And I was like, I guess I have to not be named Austin Archer, but I like my name. And I was like, I can't believe there's another Austin Archer who also has an album out. And he released his album in like 2012. And I just was like, you know what, man? You haven't put anything out since 2012. You don't get it. Like you're out. And I'm sorry, but you have to put something else out if you want to compete with this name. But
the other layer of that is that we would go through like band name, because at that point we were like, well, okay, let's see what we can do right now. Yeah. So we started going through names in the moment, and every single band that we listened to, it was like all terrible techno music. It was like the worst music, which made it even more. That's where I started to get like, are you kidding? I cannot listen to any bad music tonight.
It was like quote unquote house that had been done on like GarageBand, that just drag and drop like the loops into GarageBand, and it's like, and you're like
how did they? Oh, and okay, I guess we can't be this name, but at what cost? You know what I mean?
Right.
People are going to listen to this crap, you know. And sometimes it would be like 20,000 listens, and it was like, well, okay, music doesn't really have a good music doesn't have a place in the world anymore. You know, it's just this stuff. the thing is, It was kind of exactly, it made sense, because the way that Wolfie, now Ruvy, started was that a pandemic happened and I moved back from New York and came over to Willie's, and Willie had always been one of my best friends, but it was like, hey, we should write an album. Mm-hmm. And it just started to happen. It wasn't like, there wasn't those early conversations of like, we're going to be a band and we're going to like do all this stuff. It was literally like, we just need to jam. Let's just start writing stuff. And the stuff that we started to write, we kind of just had this feeling of like, we really want to write stuff that's going to make people bop, you know, like happy.
Yeah.
Was the idea.
Yeah. Because the pandemic was such a down that we're like, let's bring some light back into the world.
Well, it is a very fun album, and that's very apparent like from the jump. And I've actually seen that a lot with a lot of different musicians, where they're like, I just wanted to like do something a little bit more upbeat. This guy I just talked to, Slow Leaves, that I was telling you guys about.
Yeah.
His latest album, like, he's like a singer-songwriter guy who writes very like personal, you know, melancholic songs, and he released an album in 2020 called Holiday that really feels like he's just like taking a holiday from the sad stuff and being like, let's put some pep in the step, let's pick it up, let's try, you know, to be a little bit more upbeat with it. But I get that from your album. I wonder if still, like, sometimes when songwriters do this, and I wonder how you, like, what your perspective is with how you wrote this, but I know for myself, when I'm trying to write fun music, sometimes I have to like make it not about me, and I have to like sort of almost just let it be more freeform and be like, I don't even really know what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to like make something that sounds fun and that sounds exciting. Or I still let the lyrics be about something personal and maybe emotional or sad, but I just marry it to an upbeat tempo. What were you still writing personally on this album, or were you trying to think outside yourselves and be like, let's just think of fun stuff to write about?
Well, I don't think we're very good at that. I think that we've tried to like say, oh, this is the type of stuff we're gonna do and this is what we're gonna talk about, and it never happens that way.
Yeah, like, so I think ultimately that it's interesting, because the reason why I haven't tried to write upbeat stuff like this, like up until now, because I'm the same way. I'm just like singer-songwriter, really heartfelt, like deep lyric type stuff. And so like it, the reason why I haven't written anything upbeat is because I just haven't been able to.
Yeah.
So literally I think with this is once we got in the room, it wasn't about writing. We were just hanging out.
Yeah.
It was literally like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying. Like Reginald.
Yeah.
In Big Comfy Bed. It was, we're literally just going like, Reginald. And it was like, what? Why did you just say Reginald? And it's like, I don't know. Nobody knows.
But then we would take sort of that structure and go, and then structure the rest around it. So like Big Comfy Bed is not only about obviously just wanting to stay home and sleep, but it's about role playing. You know, which is the you can call me Reginald thing. Like, I don't want to leave because I love you so much. You're so sexy. Like, we're trying things. Like, it's a relationship.
You figure out. So you start with this space of sort of like free associating and just sort of like saying words. And then you go, okay, let's make that make some sort of sense.
Yeah.
And let's fit it in, you know. So I feel like I've had a similar experience with writing upbeat or fun songs where for the longest time, like you said, Will, like it's hard. Like you listen to bands that do it well and you're like, how are you doing this? How are you making something that is like about a relationship or a, but it's fun and you're like doing it in a way that it doesn't sound cheesy or corny. Yeah. Every time I try to do it, I feel so corny. I feel so like inauthentic. And the best way that I've been able to approach fun music is to be less precious with like the, with the lyric and be, allow it to just sort of flow out a little easier. And even like I write a lot of like goofy songs on TikTok now.
Yeah.
And that's like a fun way to just free myself up as a songwriter and be like, it's literally a silly song. Like it's a silly, it doesn't need to be connecting to anyone in a way that makes them be like, oh my God, I know what that guy's going through right now.
Totally.
But it frees you up in a way where you're like, oh, songwriting can be, doesn't have to be such a, like a painful experience. It can be something that that is also a release for me and that is fun for me. And then I think it sounds like that's where you started. It's just sort of like,
yeah, totally.
Well, and it kind of feels like the music, like the themes of the songs and the journey of the album, because if you, from start to finish, there's an actual purpose for everything and it goes somewhere, you know, if you are in tune to it. But it started to sort of walk in the door in a way. So like I Can't Help It, the opening song is about addiction. And the thing that is interesting about that take, the literally the first lyric is, looking in the fridge, I want a Canada Dry.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, we're talking about the addiction to soda or food, right?
Sure.
But it's a very, on this album, sort of the upbeat or the fun happens with the perspective of how we approached the topics.
Yeah.
Because we approach the diction in a very like up way. And then the chorus goes into, I can't help it. Do it again. Do it again. As opposed to that song could have been much, right? You can feel darker, like, God, I can't help it. I really just can't help but do that, you know? And
yeah, that's
we approached
fun,
it.
Yeah.
And literally that song is written because my younger brother, that's the summer that we were writing it, my younger brother decided he wanted to go to rehab.
Yeah.
And so we came in the room and we were like, that's it. Let's
well,
dig into
funny.
This.
Well, it's funny. I hear you say Canada Dry and like my brain, I'm like, yeah, Canada Dry so I can put whiskey in it. Like that's a, like my brain.
Amazing.
You
know, that's dude. Awesome.
I'm like, oh yeah, you want Canada Dry so you can put whiskey in it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, just Canada Dry. I'm like, oh yeah, of course.
Oh yeah, just soda. Yeah.
Of course.
Stupid, silly.
Incredible.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Same thing. My mom was going through a divorce and we found out that my stepdad was just the biggest piece of shit on this planet.
Ooh.
And so we wrote a song called Stepdad.
All right,
you know what I mean? And it just sort of like that night, me and my brother came over and we were just hanging out in here and it just came up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it just like that came up and then Willie was like, Willie was frustrated. And so he was like, let's just, you know, we just kind of went into that feeling and then all of a sudden it turned into this. And one of our favorite lyrics, what's the lyric? Sing it.
What?
How
does it go?
Ain't it cool? Wait.
Ain't it cool? You think you're a sophisticate, went to school, but somehow you're illiterate.
That's
good.
And it's the thing is, it's if you meet the guy, that's exactly right. I think you're sophisticated, went to school, but somehow you're illiterate.
I said that to someone in a comment section recently. It was some. I mean, even though it doesn't make sense to call someone illiterate in a comment section, because it's like, yeah, we're writing. So like, I know that like you can at least. But like, it was this person said, they commented on one of my videos. They said, "How come all liberals sound like effeminate like soy boys or something?" And I was like, oh, same reason all Trump supporters sound like illiterate morons. Like I was like, I don't know. Like it's like I don't know. Like you know. But you know. Sound like works, but I like that.
Yeah.
Sophisticate and illiterate. That's a fun.
It's a fun.
Fun rhyme. How does Wolfie become Ruby? I don't think we landed on that. So yeah. you obviously have to change the name because you can't. There's too many people that are using the name. What? How do you become Ruby? And what is Ruby?
So we, just like you were describing that moment with a band where you're going through name after name after name. We did that. Like, so begrudgingly for, like, 4 hours one night. And just, like, we just, I can't even remember what the thing. Little things would spark other little things. It's like, well, maybe we try Big Boo or, like, I don't know, just saying.
We would look up the name, of course. Yeah. And, oh, another 70 bands have that name. Yeah. Have thought of that.
And then I just remembered the thing that sparked Ruby was Rovi because of like roving. It's a very wandering, find yourself kind
of
album.
I thought you were going to say because of Roe v. Wade.
Dude, which is exactly what Chase said. That's amazing. And I'm like, who?
Or Janessa. Maybe we call Janessa. Right.
You're like, how about Roe v.? Like, and she's like, Roe v. Wade?
Roe v. Wade. That's so funny. I love that.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
So you're like, okay, Ruby. Yeah.
Ruby. It just.
And it's also, right, it rhymes with groovy.
Yeah.
It's groovy. But honestly, literally, Wolfie came about because.
Yeah. Sorry. Wolfie came about because it sounds like us. You know what I mean? And Ruby, like when Ruby came around, you know, Willie came up with it and it was like, Ruby, Ruby, Ruby. And it's just sort of that thing that's like, if we were up on stage or in front of people and we were like, yeah, Ruby music. It sounds like they would know what to expect in a way, you know, like it just sounds like our band.
Right. And ultimately, like a big thing is like being concise. That's always something I've wanted to do with band names. And so I think we wanted to follow the Wolfie, Ruby.
Mm. Yeah.
So we were looking in those terms. But yeah, I think we lucked out in finding that name. And that spot because it's interesting because it was Wolfie for so long that these songs were like, they're totally different to us now at this point. Mm. We put a different title on them and we released them under Ruby and we're like, oh, this is something else. This feels like something else. And it kind of was its last graduation into where it needed to be, I think. Mm.
Isn't that weird how just a name can change things? You're like, oh, okay, that changes the vibe or the, you know, like, because it's everything too. It's like, it's the aesthetic. It's how you want to present yourself. You guys have chosen a very specific aesthetic with like your PR images and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Who did your, and I imagine that the choice behind that is all just that it's like, you're trying to have fun. Like you're trying to make it fun and it looks fun. Who did your album art?
Matthew Wade. Do you know Matthew Wade?
I don't think so.
What one of my best friends, and he used to be a movie director around here and everything. And anyway, he took the photos one day. We were like, we need a photo shoot, but nobody else can take our photos other than somebody like Matt. You know, it's got to be somebody very specific. And I think, to be fair, in Utah, there's not really that vibe a lot. Uh-huh. I felt and Matt had it. And then we took the picture that Matt took of us running down the street over here.
Right.
You know, and Ryan Warrow is her name. And she graduated from BYU in the animation department. Yeah. You know, just brilliant.
Yep.
Pieced it together. And we didn't think we were going for like classic sort of Pixar, like Disney type thing. Like
there's this land behind us that we want to get to, and we're excited to invite you to come there, is the idea. Uh-huh. So it was very like storytelling like thing. And then she sent us this version that was like pinkish, like neon, and it was like,
yeah,
oh, that looks like an album. The other one looks like you could put it on a poster for a Disney movie, but this one looks yeah. like a rock album, you know, or a pop rock yeah. album. So
yes,
so yeah,
yeah,
great. Shout out to them; they're yeah. incredible.
BYU Amazing. Puts out a lot of good animators and stuff, man. Like that.
Yeah. She is
Utah County, just in general. I'm always impressed by just the like the amount of young professionals down here that are really doing it. Yeah. And that are like the ambition down here. People really take it seriously. And even when I was living in Salt Lake and active in the music scene there, I was always like, yeah, I like that Salt Lake's like got a little bit more of like the edge and mm-hmm. everything. Yeah. And like we're like punk houses and anarchists and shit like that. But I'm like, every time a Utah County band would come up, I'd be like, they're taking it seriously. They're really doing it. They're like, yeah. they're in it to win it. They're like yeah. actually like, they got like a banner over there. They got like, right. you yeah. know, a kick drum that has like the band logo on it. Like they're, you know.
Totally. Yeah. yeah.
They're really doing it.
We should do that.
Willie and the Wolves.
Yeah, that's we right. That. It's right up there.
Wait, so you were Willie and the Wolves too. So you got a wolf yeah. thing.
A wolf thing.
That's kind of where Wolfie came from originally. It's like, oh yeah, we Willie and the Wolves was our old band, and it's like paying homage to that, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this used to be the bass. It's a wolf with the three. I would hang it off the front of my bass.
Whoa, that's cool.
That's dude, sweet. You were talking about, you know, like Utah Valley bands and stuff like that, and Willie and I have been talking about this a lot because we sort of looked at signing with somebody here in the Valley who's, yeah. you know, found a lot of success. And we were talking about how the community like works here.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that is so hard is that clout here comes from telling other people how good you are. Yeah. It's been insane to be like,
I think that's a little bit how it is everywhere.
I haven't found that in like New York. I haven't found it as much in LA, yeah. maybe more than New York, but like for real, it was just straight up, oh, I don't need to listen to your album. Or it's like you show up and you're like, oh yeah, I'm a professional director. It's like, what have you directed? Well, you know, I'm just getting started, but like, I'm, you know, and it's like, yeah, come on in. It's like whoever's the best at selling how good they are, that's who wins. And I've felt that way for a long time, just personally too, you know what I mean? But we're not really good at that because we're like, well, why don't you just listen to the music, and if you like it, then we'd love to come over.
Sure. Yeah.
check us out on MySpace Music.
We've got our music up on MySpace. 1,000 plays.
We're still Wolfy on there, but
how come you don't have High Noon up on streaming platforms?
You jerk.
I recently put it up.
Did you?
Yeah.
Thank God.
It was a 10-year anniversary, so that's right, my good. Gift to you today. All right,
thank you.
And that was Willie and the Wolves, by the way. So we played all of Willie's music. Sweet. Like, that's what we used to.
Does that bother you when people say that? Because sometimes when, like,
no.
you know, like an artist will be like, that was 10 years ago. Get with the nerd.
Oh, no, like, not at like, all, dude. Like, I'm here for any compliments and praise, man, all day long.
It's a great album.
No, I really appreciate it. Yeah, it's crazy that we've like had that connection so long ago.
Yeah,
that
it's wild.
You know about it. Yeah,
that's wild.
It also just goes to show you've always just been that good from the beginning. Dude. You know what I mean? Like, Thanks, Move man. Too Slow is wonderful.
No, it left an impression for sure. So much that like I got the album and I listened to it a lot.
Wow.
And then like when Chase played the song, I was like, I know the words to this whole album. I was like, I know, you know. So it's like one of the I've always liked kind of falling in love with local bands and stuff, and because I feel like everybody needs at least a few fans that are, you know, like, because, and it's not like an indie kid thing where it's like I like knowing about music that you don't know about.
Yeah,
it's that I'm like, well, someone's got to appreciate this music because it's not an international act. It's not a, you know, someone's got to, because there's so much good music that is made on the local level in any town. You
Holy
know?
Cow! I mean, I remember following Joshua James, Isaac Russell, like when Book on Tapeworm did their thing. It was like we geeked out about all those guys. Like, they were awesome, you know? So, yeah.
I've felt for a long time that like my friends are in some of my favorite bands, you know, that my yeah. friends have like started and been, and some of my friends are like some of my favorite songwriters still. Like, yeah. I'm just like, I don't Taylor know if this Swift person will and... ever get, no, yeah, yeah. My good friend T, my Swift. Good friend Tay Tay, she just released, I don't know if you'd heard about this. She re-recorded some of her albums. She's re-releasing them. Really I'm so proud of her. And like, she's just like, she's like out there doing it on her own, you know? And she's like, and she needs people to,
just a local artist,
to acknowledge.
Local to Beverly Hills, you know? Yeah.
She did Saturday Night Live recently. It was crazy. I was like, that's my friend Taylor. That's her. It's like, she's really doing stuff. Yeah. I wonder, when you're making an album like this that's just fun and good times, do you ever, and I mean, I've run into things like this before, and I think I think it's fine. But do you bump into issues where you disagree on stuff where you're like, that's not how that should go. And that's not like, and how do you navigate that if you do?
Every moment was perfect.
It's interesting because that's what I was going to say. Yeah. No, I was kidding. It's interesting because I, for a lot of years, I was just very closed off to writing with people because I was just like, well, I've done it more than anyone I write with, so I ought to know all the answers to all the questions, but... that being said, going into this, I really wanted to put myself to task to like let that down, let sure. that guard down. Because yeah. it's like at this point, like I've done enough stuff by myself that I'm like, dude, who cares? Who yeah. the fuck cares? Just
I've put out my albums.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like let's try to team up in a real way and just come to a consensus. And I also think like the necessity of a producer, like somebody that sees a bigger picture than the person that's spitting the words out,
uh-huh.
is so valuable. It's just like, it's like someone across the room to tell you like, oh, that didn't come across. Like yeah. a director, I mean, you know, Chase is a director as well, but it's like, you know, for him to watch that or listen to that and be like, no, that's not how it came across. Like, I understand you on a personal level. I understand what you were trying to say, but that's not what I gathered when you said it.
Yeah.
And so I think being really synced up on that level and understanding that together, it was way easier for me in this instance to just be like, oh, then let's get it to wherever it needs to be, to where what I'm trying to say is being interpreted that way.
Sure.
So what he's saying, and the truth is, I'm so replaceable. You know, you've got to know if you're listening to this album that Willie is the heart and soul of the music. No question. Mm-hmm. Like, he is the gift. What I know how to do is talk about it and figure it out so that it reaches other people. You know what I mean? So
are you like, in this scenario sort of taking the role of the producer being like, here, I'm not getting that? Or
I honestly think, yeah, I mean, the way that we were, obviously I play the drums and other instruments and sometimes sing backups, even though we don't need me to, we have Willie, but
you can sing.
Like, yeah.
You know
yeah.
how to sing.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it really is like the ideas mm-hmm. behind it. And again, how it's coming across, I think that I just feel not that I have this special perspective. It's just that I know how to find what we're trying to do. And so I honestly, like, we could list Willie on this album as everything. Like, Willie probably, the drums aren't that tough. Willie could have done the drums too, but everything. And then I would be listed as the producer within the music, within the band. Now, I think it's a lot more active than it sounds, obviously. I was here for every second of it, yeah. and, you know...
And you sang on every backup.
Sure.
Like, we would start the recording for backups, and, like, we did a lot of layered harmonies and stuff.
Yeah.
And every single backup, to my recollection...
He's being so sweet right
no,
now.
No, like, we literally hit record together...
Yeah.
And just stood around the mic or like went out into the shop on like the big choir parts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just did the room. Just both of us sang the same part.
Yeah.
And then I'd look around for the harmony and be like, okay, let's do this. Or we'd look, you know, we'd look together too, but.
But it's like, honestly, like we would come up with something and then, for example, I Can't Help It was in a minor key.
Yeah.
It was like, try and do it in the minor. Do you remember the old one? Can we do it?
Hell yes.
This is
hell yes.
This is the active version of the
What?
So this is the opening song.
So this is the first riff that looking in the fridge I want a Canada Dry. So it started like really minor. Maybe we'd be chilling if I wasn't obsessed.
Yeah.
And then it was it's so stuck in my brain at this point.
It
sounded like a like a Motley Crue song or something, or like
I'm getting like Weezer vibes, like early like, you know, like I Can't Help It, like something like that.
I can't help it.
That's what it was.
Oh,
do it again.
And now play what it is now.
I can't help it. Do it again. I can't help it. Do it again.
Right?
That's so, fun.
So my role was coming in one day and going, hey, this is kind of like off. It just feels like a little like depressing and like, but that's, I think what we want is something that, like, we're talking about addiction in a way of like, I can't, you know, like championing the thing, you know, like, and this was obviously with my brother in mind and everything like that. So we changed it up and it just, like I was sitting at the drum set and he's on guitar, electric at the time. And it just felt like all of a sudden it just lifted up in the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those are the little things that I brought to the
little
table.
Because that's not a huge adjustment.
It's not
a major adjustment, but it's those little teeny things sometimes. I have a songwriting partner that I work with from time to time, and he sometimes will do that where he'll just change the chord progression that I'm using just by like one chord. He'll be like, you should use a D minor there instead. Mm. And then like I do it, and I'm like, oh, that – and I sing the same melody, but just changing that different chord, I'm like, oh, that's such a nice little change up there. And but you need that other person, that other perspective to hear that sometimes.
Can we play one more really quick?
Yeah.
Why don't we show them? So we're writing the new album.
Okay. You got a new album already.
The thing that's going to be different on this one is that it's going to be the same energy. It's just that the lyrics we're going to be a little more truthful with the lyrics on this one.
It's gonna be a little more deep lyric than the first one. Or
so like last night we were playing this. No, what's the new one? Yeah, the so it started like funky like this. But then,
yeah,
what is it?
Out of that for the chorus,
yeah.
Like with the,
dude.
Oh yeah, no, it's gonna rock hard. Yeah. But I think it's just talking about, you know, working together on, oh, we want to start lower so that we can get to the, you know, if it starts too high, if it's too funky at the beginning, then we're not gonna have the payoff in the chorus. So let's build to that thing. Like, let's start lower. Let's give it a little bit, and then we get into this other catchy. What's the pre-chorus?
The
say
so what you saying? Say this to all of your friends.
Super catchy, right? We need that little thing, but then, bop.
Not today.
That needs to like hit people in the face.
Yeah,
and that's where the musicality of it comes in. You know, it's just
which. Which it's interesting because, and I'm going to be a little bit open right now, but I wrote that a few days ago and I was in a horrible place. Horrible, horrible place. And I was just fed up. It was like, I'm not going to pretend like I feel okay right now.
Yeah.
Not today.
Yeah.
So it's not today. Don't want to feel like I'm okay. And it's like, and so I think even though we're shifting and kind of owning the sound that we found on the first album, it feels very similar where it's whatever we're going through, we just spit out whatever it is and then we build around it.
Yeah.
Because, and I think that's really what...
Still not so precious. It's just sort of letting it come out and not judging it.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's like... Anytime I, as a writer, try to like put an agenda on it,
yeah,
before there's anything,
uh-huh,
it just there's not like what am I gonna do if I'm not feeling the thing? Like not to go back too far, but like if the you know if I'm trying to write a happy song and it's like okay, what constitutes a happy song?
What is happy?
Smiling in the sunshine, and it's like. No. It
doesn't, yeah.
It has no attachment to anything real that's happening. So how can it feel truly happy or, in this case, like truly heartbreaking or truly inspiring depending on where people are at? And so I think just finding the truth of what that, whatever that is for me or Chase as a writer, and then making it, building the narrative around that, I think it gives the listener... all the liberty in the world to catch the truth of the moment, the emotion of the thing, and attach whatever emotion they're feeling from that thing to the music. And I think that helps people connect to it.
Hell yeah.
That was the manifesto right there.
That's it right there. Dude. That's it right there.
The album does that too. All right, the current album, you know, even though it is fun, when we get to All in All, which is track 9 or so, 8, 9?
I think it's 10.
10, okay. All in All, then we go to Loserville, which is the title song of the album.
Yeah.
Which Loserville, the whole idea of Loserville is that, you know, as people who just feel out of place all the time, I've been saying aliens, but that, I don't know how appropriate that is, but just feeling like...
Because people are going to be like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Why would you
Yeah. Honestly, like, I just feeling like in whatever rooms we've been in, it's just like not totally comfortable. And from what I've gathered, a lot of people feel that way. Like, most of them, probably not Tom Brady, but everybody else. So, we wrote this album.
Tom Bombadil.
Who? Tom Bombadil.
He just made up a name.
From The Hobbit.
Yeah, from The Hobbit. Yeah. No, he's a real guy. Tom Bombadil.
He's a real guy.
He never really felt like he fit in.
He never felt.
Yeah.
In place. Yeah, we know him personally.
Yeah.
But no, like this idea that there's a place and that's that city. It's like, hey, forget about all of that. And all of the songs sort of lead up to that. They're like all these different people. One's called The Friend We Had Before, which is about how people change. And it's like, whoa, like, who are you? You're unrecognizable, not in a good way. You're like putting all these layers on the person that was really great, you know, and just leading up to this idea of, hey, there's this place. It doesn't matter if you can't pay rent. It doesn't matter, you know, because money has been a big thing in our lives and success is based around money or it truly doesn't matter
nothing matters in this place called Loserville. Everyone is welcome. And then after that song comes really what it's all about, in my opinion, which is a song called Wandering. Have you listened to this one yet?
Yeah, I've listened to the whole album.
Which, when I first heard it, I was like, Willie, you've just written a masterpiece. Like, everything in the song, and maybe it's because what I was going through, but it's just like so on point. And I said, Willie, what did you write this about? And Willie goes, I don't know. And I was just like, holy crap, that just came. It just happened. You know, and the song is really this idea of like, it's the lyric, you should just play the, just this chunk.
Do you want to just play this song?
Yeah.
Let's play the song.
I think we should.
Play the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one needs to be heard.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Yeah. Chase is leaving. He's just getting out of
here. That's how much he loves this song, man.
Yeah, play the song. I'm going to leave.
No, just kidding. So we... I'll just play it.
Yeah.
You may be wandering, following your eyes. And as you're wandering, when did my spirit die? Go ahead, lose everything, you'll be alright. If you lose everything, you'll be just fine. You may be wandering, stuck in a rut. And as you're wondering, when's enough enough? Go ahead, lose everything, and we'll have a chat and dwell on how I lost everything and found myself. Now that it isn't hard to lose the one you love. Now that it isn't hard to learn to be the one you always knew you were. You may be wandering, lost in the trees. And as you're wondering what happened to me, go ahead, lose everything, set your spirit free. If you lose everything, you'll learn to be. Now that it isn't hard to lose the ones you love. Now that it isn't hard to learn to be the one you always knew you were. You may be wandering, following your eyes. And as you're wondering, when did my spirit die? Go ahead, lose everything, you'll be alright. If you lose everything, you'll be just fine. If you lose everything, you'll find new life.
Boo!
Boo, get out of here!
I'm with Chase. I'm like, that's really surprising that you're like, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I have a hunch as a songwriter that song, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I have a hunch that song kind of came out kind of easily. And in years of writing songs, you know how it's those ones that you're never expecting it, It just happens on a random day, and it comes out real easy, and it almost all comes out in one afternoon, and you're like, there it is, and that's it. Yeah. And it's real easy. It's a generally simple song to play.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, it's a pretty simple structure. It's kind of like a traditional structure, but it just, like, the lyric never has to struggle to come out. You're like, you're saying one part and you just know the landing spot. You're like, that's a great landing spot for that lyric.
Yeah.
Let's move on and see if I got more. Exactly. I got some more. And then at the end of it, you're like, I'm not sure exactly what I was doing, but not bad.
Yeah.
And those ones, like, because those are always people's favorite songs of mine too. And I'm always like, that one just was there one day. And
incredible.
Yeah. Was that, was it that song?
Totally. And I think going back to what I was saying before, it's like, I think to me, the way I view that is that that's just as true as it gets.
Yeah.
That me consciously, I don't even know what is being said. My subconscious is saying the things that my consciousness needs to hear.
It's the space you want to be in. It's the place that, like, we get sort of addicted to as artists. And like, it's that state of flow where you're like, I'm really in it. I'm really connected to the muse or whatever, like and it's coming out and I'm not fighting it, and it's really easy. And there's that. And by at the end of it, you're like, I'm not sure exactly what was going on, but I'm so happy that that showed up today.
Right.
And you know, you listen back a year later or something, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
All right. You know,
now, if you don't mind me saying, he does know, of course, what it was about.
It seems very specific.
Which is the best. Yeah. Literally the subconscious talks about the thing, and then you go, oh, that's the thing that's been sitting in there. And this is how it wanted to voice itself. Like, holy crap, that's totally the truth. How we recorded it for the album was because this is a one take thing. You know what I mean? Just like when Willie just played it, it's like there's so much truth that you hear in his voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we try to manufacture that or like produce it. It's gonna take away all of the goodness of it. It's like reason Damien Rice exists.
It's always, you know, those, like, tunes, the ones that come out easily, where you're like, we don't want to fuck this up with production. Yeah. We don't want to those ones where you're just like, I don't want to busy this up.
Yeah.
This idea of we'll have a chat and we'll talk about when you have lost everything and you found yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa, this idea that all these layers of, and you know, at the time it's like being from Utah, there's a lot of religious stuff that's just put on top. And like, you need to do this to be worthy enough for this. And you have to be, so you put all these layers on, and this idea that once you get rid of all those layers,
yeah,
that's actually who you are.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that it's a Picasso, in my opinion.
It's a beautiful song. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous song. I don't know if you feel this way too. I feel like with those songs, because there's, like I said, they're always people's favorites, but I'm also like, I feel like the least responsible for them. I'm just kind of like, I don't know. Like, that one, it was sort of just a product of like being in a songwriting space for several months, writing an album. And then that one came out, like, thank God. But like, the other ones, I worked really hard to make the other ones good.
Yeah.
And they took a lot of like hand wringing and like, and rewriting
and more effort.
And that one, it's like,
we credited Taylor Swift with the writing of the song. Actually, it doesn't belong to you.
No, it's totally true. It's funny as a songwriter what people latch onto and like where you place value in your own work, because I totally hear you. It's like, if you put a ton of time into something, you're like that one, please. Like that one. Like, validate the time that I've
been and
energy and love that I've been putting into that one. And it's like, it's just not the case. Like, it's not a necessity. It's like totally removed from what consuming music is. It's like, if you like it, if you connect to it, that's the thing. And the cost is irrelevant, I think.
But you feel, I mean, your music reflects, it truly is a less is more thing. I've always felt that if there's too much on top of the thing, it's like, I can't get through to the, I need to hear
the vocals every time.
Yeah.
Personally, I just have to hear the voice.
Yeah.
And everything else is supporting that thing.
Yeah. You guys have made an album that, and I you know, you're getting feedback now from people who are listening. I imagine.
They hate it.
Yeah. I imagine you're getting a lot of people who have different favorite songs.
Yes.
Which, like, is always a good sign.
Yeah.
That just, the is exactly what you're talking about, where, like, they're, the individual experience, everyone has a different experience of, this is the one that really spoke to me. This is the one I really connected with. That's a great, I think it's great when you're not getting overwhelmingly, everyone's coming back going, this is the best song on your album, which is fine if that's what you're getting, but it also means that everyone's agreeing, like, this is the song that's good and the rest are fine. But if you're getting a lot, everyone's coming back saying, I like this one, I like this one, I like this one. You're like, cool. That means I've got an album that has ample offerings, that has a lot to, you know?
Yeah. I think the people who are falling in love with the beginning of the album are the ones who would never come to Loserville. You know what I mean?
Well, I want to talk about that though, too. I think that in today's day and age, a lot of people don't actually have the stamina to make it through an entire
album.
Man.
Yeah.
And, I do it. I'll listen to some artists that I'm like, oh, people have been talking about this. And I'll listen to like the first four or five songs and think like, that's a pretty good investment. But it's like, I think we view like the back half of an album as sort of like the throwaway songs. And I'm like, as a person who makes these things, I know that sometimes I think like my best songs are on the back end.
Yeah.
And like, and I think maybe we should switch that up, but I know that structure is a thing that musicians spend a lot of time on as well when it comes to how to structure the album, how to lay it out. Adele just talked about this. I think she did a thing where she like made it so that Spotify, removed the shuffle button because she was like, I put these songs in a specific order. I want you to listen to them in a specific order. And if everyone's going to be listening on streaming and on playlists and stuff like that, like if you come to the album, please listen to it from beginning to end. And she can pull that kind of, she can say that.
Yeah.
Should we ask them if they
reach out?
Yeah. But it is a thing where
That's the thing. Yeah.
Listening to a full album is important.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's interesting because we spent a lot of time figuring that out, like you're saying. And I think what I really love about this album is that it gets vulnerable towards the end. I think I think all the songs are good. I'm happy with all the songs. Mm-hmm. I think the vulnerabilities start to happen so much more towards the end, which I think is what you're saying, like the first three or four or five songs.
Fun, hook you in, bring
exactly.
You in.
It's just an experience, which if whoever listens to four or five songs just hear that, like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Because I think the payoff is at the end. The payoff is the vulnerability. Mm-hmm. The payoff is the story.
And that's the interesting thing about an album is it is a collection of individual pieces.
Yeah.
So it's a collection of, you know, 10 to 15 individually wrapped pieces where on their own they can stand. You can listen to just one of these things and it can work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just weird because it is meant to be consumed as a whole thing. Yeah. And more than almost any other medium, people tend to consume like it only partially and then have an opinion on it based on consuming it partially. And it's kind of like telling a friend of yours releases a movie and you're like, hey, I watched the first 20 minutes of your movie. I really liked it. And they're like, did you watch the whole thing? You're like, I'll get around to it.
Yeah. Do you know what happened at minute 40?
I got it. Like, I got the gist of what you were doing. And you know, or someone like writes a book and you're like, I read the first few chapters. Like, you're a good writer. And it's like, did you finish the book? Like, it's kind of long. Like, you know, it's
right.
It's like, well, you know, I even think with my podcast, like the podcast tends to be like an hour to an hour, hour and a half. And I feel like as I go through the conversation with a guest, we get to better and better stuff. And I'm like, I wonder if people are driving to work and they make it through the first like 25 minutes of the episode and then they never get around to finishing the episode. I'm like, you might have missed the best thing in the episode.
Yes.
Like, because it's, you gotta get, but I get it because I do it too. I'll listen to, you know, a part of an interview with someone that I want to hear. And I'm like, I might've missed the best part of the interview.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. Which is why, again, why I think it's important to hook people.
Yeah.
Right. It's like if you can, I mean, it's not very fun to think in those terms as a musician, and it's something I've had to learn, because it's like, in the beginning it was just like, yeah, just do whatever. It's art. It's beautiful. It's expression. But there are these little things that we as consumers, and I, just like you, like I do the same thing as a consumer. And mm-hmm. so it's like recognizing those things and applying them in a way that it's a good listening experience. Cause there are definitely albums that I listen to front to back, no question, yeah. because it's a good listening experience.
Right.
And other ones that aren't a good listening experience. So mm-hmm. I don't. And so I think that was a really big goal of ours, just to make it a good listening experience front to back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You always want to try to build something that stands as like a full body of work, where it's like this, you know, and it feels like you're doing that with the Loserville concept and the, you know,
yeah.
that you're trying to build sort of a world for people to be in for the yeah. duration of the thing. And then I think what's happening on the back end of your album is that you're sort of catching them by surprise.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Is that you're sort of going like, cool, you're here with us now in this place where you know that there's no judgment. We're just trying to have a good time. But also like, here's something real here's for you truth. To take.
Yeah.
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 On your way.
So I think our next album has to be called Cool Place.
Winter cool, time.
Winterville.
Winter, chicken dinner.
Yeah. House.
It's literally only for cool people. If you're a loser, you cannot. And we're going to each lose 40 pounds and get our
bleach
face.
Bleach our hair.
Our souls.
Yeah. What do you think? You want to play one more song and then call it so we can get you out of here?
One more song.
Yeah. What are we?
What do you want to do? Pick one. You, Chase.
Oh. I mean, it should be, Give Me the Money.
Oh, yeah.
It should be Give Me the Money. Yeah. Just for the setup that we have right
now. It's got to be Give Me the Money.
Bone Dry.
Yeah.
AKA, I love it. Give Me the Money.
Oh, that's a little off. Oh, hey, everybody. Speaking of, this right here is the best part of this episode. If you made it. Yeah. You made it to the best part.
You made it to the best part of the episode. Congratulations.
Pull it out and put it in. I'll diffuse the smile of the tongue-tied teller.
I started it wrong.
On the second.
Pull out of oblivion.
Oh, yeah.
I'll diffuse the smile of the tongue-tied teller. Pull it out and put it in. I'ma set the dial and blow. Gotta get the money I'm after, cause I'm bone dry. California sun and red leather, bone dry. Soft top, roll back, immaculate weather, bone dry. Hope it don't get to my sweet mother. Living in a spot that's not mine, rarely even see the sunlight. Tired of the noise in my town. I'm bone dry. Ooh, I'm bone dry. Pull it up. Chill it out and rain it in. Maybe you could dream what you never do sober. Living in oblivion. Nobody will ever win. No. Gotta get the money I'm after, cause I'm bone dry. California sun and red leather. Soft top, roll back, immaculate weather. Won't try. Hope it don't get to my sweet mother. Live living in a spot that's not mine. Rarely even see the sunlight. Tired of the noise at nighttime. I'm fine. Give me the money, give me the money. Give me the money, give me the money.
Give me the money,
give me the money. Give me the money, give me the money.
Give me the fucking money.
Give me the money, give me the money. See the sunlight, tired of the noise at night time. I'm bone dry.
Hell yeah!
And that's fun.
Yes, dude. All right, Ruby, Loserville, streaming everywhere. You got a music video you're going to do or anything like that? You got something coming out?
As long as you're directing it.
Let's do it.
Honestly.
Let's make a music video.
Honestly.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it, man.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't afford you, but
honestly. You can. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll make it.
Yeah.
20.
20 bucks? Okay, you can't afford me.
Whoa.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Can't afford it.
All right, guys. All right, thanks so
thank
much.
Thank you. Seriously.
Thanks so much,
yeah.
This is everything.
Lots of fun. That's it. That's it. What more do you need? Go listen to the album. I've listened to it a few times. Probably 3 times all the way through. And I like it a lot. Really good. Welcome to Loserville by Ruvi. You can be listening to it in your car one day with a friend, and your friend will be like, what is this? And you're like, oh, it's this band called Ruvi. You don't know about them? And then you can feel really, really cool that you know about this band that your friend doesn't know about, that they've never heard of. You can still do that. I know that it's like a trope. I know that it's a trope that hipster people do and that you don't want to be, but like, you can do that. It's a trope for a reason, and it's because it does make you pretty cool to be able to do that. So go check that out. Happy to those that those guys wanted to come on. That was a lot of fun. Okay, this show, People Pleaser, is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by going to austin-archer.com or buying my music at austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com or looking me up on Apple Music or Spotify at Austin Archer, just the name Austin Archer. My music is mixed and mastered, and this show is mixed and mastered by Chris Bjorn over at Marmalade Music. Go to themarmalademusic.com and tell Chris that I sent you over. Say that I heard your work on Austin Archer's podcast, and I've got an audio project that I want you to work on, and he's going to give you 20% off. How about that, huh? You got to mention me, though. You got to mention me if you want to get that deal, okay? And then when you're done listening to all of my music and hitting up Chris for that, go listen to Ruvi, all right? And then sign up for patreon.com/AustinArcher and then get a cameo. Get it. You can get my cameo link and all of my bios and all of my social medias. All right. That's all the stuff. Okay. We'll see you next week. Take care. Ta-ta. Bye-bye. Love you.